Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back. You are listening to the Daily Roundup here on Radio Islam International. My name is Anisa. Well, this is our final interview for this evening, I should say, and we are talking about the conflict in Myanmar that has intensified with troops retreating to the Thai border. Concerns over human rights violations and forced conscriptions have reached alarming levels. And today we are joined by Deputy Asia Director at Human Rights Watch, Phil Robertson, to look at the situation, the deteriorating situation and its implications as well. Phil, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for making time for us. Can you provide us with an overview of the recent developments in Myanmar, particularly regarding the retreat of the troops to the Thai border?
Well, what we have seen really across the periphery of Myanmar, and this is really many of the border regions, is the failure and the fall of numerous towns and areas that were previously controlled by the Myanmar military to the coalition of various different ethnic insurgent groups and People's Defense Forces, which are militias that have come up, that have formed and are fighting against the Myanmar military since the coup in February 2021, when, the Myanmar military took power and basically, on the eve of Aung San Suu Kyi and her government, returning for a second 5-year term.
Now, the Karen National Union has claimed victory over the military forces in Mayawadi. What impact does this have on the dynamics of the conflict and the plight of the civilians in that particular region?
Well, Mayawadi is the most important crossing between Thailand and Myanmar. It is a border town where, I think in the past year there was over $1 billion worth of trade through that checkpoint. It is a major area. It is a major gateway into Myanmar. And the loss of Mayawadi to the Karen National Union is a grave blow to the Myanmar military. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
What it will mean, I think, is that we're going to see, greater intensity from the various different ethnic groups, who have really joined an informal coalition to try to finally get rid of the Myanmar military, to topple the Myanmar military, which is really what the people of Myanmar want. They are tired of a rights-abusing military that time and time again has thwarted democracy, has violated rights, commits crimes against humanity and other atrocities on a daily basis. Really, it is a military whose time is up. And the only people who don't realize that is the Myanmar military itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, what legal framework, or rather, let's go back a bit. And, the Human Rights Watch has accused the military, the Myanmar military, of forcibly recruiting Rohingya Muslim men and boys. Elaborate for us on the methods employed and also the consequences for those who are affected by this.
Well, what we've seen is since February is a mandatory military conscription law that was enacted coming into effect. And this has opened the way for the Myanmar military, ironically, to go to some of these areas in Rakhine State in the west and forcibly recruit Rohingya men and say, you've got to join the military. And the problem, of course, is that these men and their families have been basically essentially locked down, confined in areas where they're surrounded by the military and the police. And, they're sitting ducks. There's nowhere for them to run. So they are being forced into the military. In some cases, we believe they're being used as sort of cannon fodder by the Myanmar military in their ongoing fight against yet another ethnic group, the Arakan Army, which is on the verge of toppling Myanmar military control in Rakhine State, the far west of Myanmar. Which is the state where the Rohingya also come from. And, it is it's doubly ironic and tragic that you have people like the Rohingya who are victims of acts of genocide and, some of the most severe human rights abuses that you can imagine by the Myanmar military are now being forced by the Myanmar military to join them. And I expect that, you know, there will be continued resistance by the Rohingya and others to try to avoid doing that and trying to escape. But, I mean, it is, these guys are really surrounded by the Myanmar military, and there's nothing they can do. That's why they're being forced into the military.
Yes, yes. Now, are there any legal frameworks or international mechanisms in place to address this forced conscription and other human rights violations in Myanmar?
Well, we've been continually pressing for the UN Security Council to refer Myanmar to the International Criminal Court. Unfortunately, you know, Russia and China have been more than willing to use the veto or the threat of the veto at the UN Security Council to prevent that referral. Without that referral, it's impossible to get the Myanmar to the International Criminal Court simply because it has not ratified the Rome Statute. Mm. There's also an ongoing case at the International Court of Justice,
yes,
connected to the Rohingya. Mm-hmm. This is the case that was filed by the Gambia.
Yes.
It is ongoing. You know, there are orders to prevent things that could contribute further to genocide while the court is considering the case. You know, I mean, with the specific issues of the Rohingya, of course, and the forced conscription, you know, that might fall into that ICJ framework.
All right.
It won't, of course, affect the larger parts of Myanmar, the other parts of Myanmar, mm-hmm, where, you know, abuses are being committed on a daily basis by the Myanmar,
yes,
military, you know, bombings, attacks on civilians, particularly use of airstrikes. I mean, it's worth, everybody's paying a lot of attention to, like, Ukraine, but it's worth considering that the intensity of airstrikes in Myanmar is as bad or worse than as Ukraine. But, you know, what it is in Myanmar, it's just one-sided. It's the Myanmar Air Force attacking civilians.
Wow. How concerned should governments and organizations who work together to hold Myanmar, the junta, accountable for its actions? I mean, particularly about the Rohingya population, are we seeing anything being done? I know Human Rights Watch has taken on the situation as one of their projects that they're looking at and been working on. But are there other organizations as well? And what can we, as, you know, citizens in other parts of the world, do to help?
Well, I think that it's important to get governments across the world prepared to denounce what the Myanmar military is doing and demand action, whether it be governments South Africa or Europe or North America or wherever. You know, it's critical that there be voices calling out what the Myanmar military is doing to the Rohingya, mm-hmm, and demanding that it stop. You know, we have been pressing very hard for greater sanctions against the Myanmar military and urging that there be more coordinated sanctions, for instance, like on aviation fuel, which would make it difficult for the kind of attacks that the Myanmar military has been inflicting on the people. You know, if you could ground their planes and their helicopters, that would be something that would be very, very important to do. But we've not seen much attention being paid to the conflict in Myanmar. The bottom line is that the world community seems distracted with Ukraine and Gaza and ultimately seems to have forgotten that the Myanmar conflict is continuing. And that's sad, but it's a reality that is very difficult to overcome. I mean, we're just dealing with a lack of action by the international community in the face of continued Myanmar military atrocities.
All right. Phil, thank you very much. It gives us an idea of what is happening. I think it doesn't really, you know, give us a proper view of what's happening, but it gives us an idea. And I think people need to start looking at what is happening in that part of the world as well, as we've seen a genocide previously, and now we're seeing other human rights abuses taking place as well that could just lead to further issues that, you know, could arise from this situation as well. But thank you for your time. Much appreciated.
Entirely welcome. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.